Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Red Planetary Dragon, and it is the 10th day of the Yellow Human Wave Spell. It is also the Cosmic Moon, day 12. So Cosmic Moon is the theme. Actually, Mercury retrograde is the theme right now, as in now when I'm talking to you, because I was almost in tears trying to get this thing started during the retrograde. This kind of like glitchy computer stuff, dealing with my GarageBand files during retrograde, like that is the hardest part of retrograde this time around. I'm not in a relationship, so I don't have a breakup, you know, on the horizon, which is how it seems to always feel in the retrograde. I am very much like inward, which is the best place to go and sort of be safe in the retrograde. But the minute like I want to launch a podcast or, you know, make a bill payment through my bank and not have it a snafu, like there's the retrograde again. I hope that your retrograde isn't really bleak, and I'm just acknowledging that it's still on and it's coming to an end to a degree. There's still the post-shadow phase that'll extend another week and a half, but for many people, it's coming to its conclusion fairly soon. I guess I'm not sure when. But the other thing I want to say is that I have someone in my life who's super, super into the retrograde, a family member, which is cool. Like, how often do you get to share that with your family member? And yet, she's so indoctrinated and such a believer, as I am as well, but mine is mitigated by following these other calendars and having a whole different astrology that's unknown to almost everyone. And so if I were to just look at this retrograde and find it harrowing and without also factoring in it's the yellow human wave spell or that it's the cosmic moon, like those things have a really undue influence as well. And I guess I would say unacknowledged influence, because who knows about them? And that doesn't mean that everyone has to be influenced by them. It's just I am, and I find it easier to wrap my mind around setbacks and snafus and, you know, general communication mayhem and mistakes if I'm like, well, it's the yellow human wave spell. Mistakes are the theme. Cosmic moon, just all this slowing down, tripped out lifestyle, enduring and transcending, being in the present moment. That's like the best part of retrograde. So we have a retrograde that's compounded by the really cool part of the cosmic moon. So natural time includes all of these things, and the eclipse that just happened in the full moon moment of the weekend that was also the 4th of July in the United States, which means that I didn't observe an eclipse. I live in like student housing where all we had was just like a war zone of fireworks for 2 days. So I am super stoked to be podcasting. I wasn't sure I would be after having my ears blown out by like the sound of feedback from my GarageBand file. But I am now, because there isn't any more feedback. So it's like a triumph, which is a perfect picture of the cosmic tone, that you have like really hard feelings and, experiences that push you to some kind of tension and pain, suffering, and then you just endure it, or you find a loophole and there's a portal and you get through, and then you're like, life is so much better after suffering than before it, you know, because the suffering becomes this this routine that we fall into. And when it's mitigated, we're like, well, I'm happier than I was before the suffering, even if it's exactly the same as it was before the suffering, because the suffering took me to a place of such discomfort that just to have it removed means that I feel great at a baseline. I think that I'm not really expressing this well, but I am suggesting that part of the Cosmic Tones teaching is that we can find suffering or discontent sort of by a place of ingratitude or just being kind of controlling and picky, and then we're plunged into something that we can't control at all, that really feels like a hardship, it's tormenting, but then when it passes or is alleviated, we have more gratitude and grace and the ability to be humble, so that what was boring or, produced anxiety before this like big hurdle we had to cross is acceptable to us now. I feel like that's part of the cosmic tone. I'm not sure. I'm getting really spaced out. I was talking to somebody, you know, about my life right now. I'm just like, well, I'm pretty much tripped out all the time. My current project is to reread my childhood journals. And I'm just like, talk about retrograde. I am just like so far out, man, in the past, because I really recorded things in detail and I'm like dropping into memories that I have, and I'm dropping into things I can't remember, which is fascinating, like detailed writing about things that I have no recollection of, that I lived. Like, that's really cool. Maybe you're used to that. I'm used to remembering everything. It's just like blowing my mind, and that's the cosmic tone as well. I'm not going to take credit for it. It's called cosmic because a lot of the things that we call cosmic when we're not referring to the calendar are cool and trippy and out there, man. And, you know, I'm making a joke, but I'm not. I'm from California. I'm from countercultural California. And I believe in that dialect. You know, it's so cosmic. That's real to me. That's a real way of describing things. And I'm in it. And are you? Because here's the other thing about this moment right now. A lot of us are probably in a pretty good space. Maybe not everyone, but maybe a lot of us are, because it's the end of the year and things have been resolved and now we're just sort of floating, as I've described any number of times. And then it's going to get really busy and there's going to be a new year with its new challenges. In fact, it's a lunar year, which means that the question we're going to ask for 13 moons or 364 days is, in the background, the big wide surround of the year is, what is my challenge? Like, we're going to be facing it. We're going to be analyzing it. We're going to be recording it. We're going to be like exploring it as if it were like a science project. What is my challenge for this 13-year segment of my life? So I'm all like floating around like summer vacation fever, you know, like it's not like I'm on a summer vacation, but I just have the arrival point that we seek when we go on summer vacation, or we just have left over in our psyche from being kids. Like, I'm not lazing about, but everything has languor and everything has relaxation woven into it. And I think that's the cosmic moon and the retrograde, which capitulates us into an interior place and a lot of groovy memories. But I'm just saying it all aloud because it's going to go away, maybe, probably, in the magnetic moon of the next year. We're going to attract a lot of, intensity that will be playing out over a year. And right now we're on the other end of that. We attracted a lot of intensity a year ago. It's played out. And we have maybe a relief from a plot structure. You know, that's always how I describe this. The plot structure includes relief between, you know, epic scenes or surges or journeys. So we're in that time, and I'm celebrating it. I am sharing with you my thrill about being in the cosmic tone. I mean, I wanted to cry earlier because of how bad my ears were hurt by my podcast mechanism. Like, it feels like being bitten by your pet, you know, like, hey, don't hurt me. So I wanted to cry. And now I want to cry because I'm so elated, you know, I'm so elated about the cosmic moment. And I'm sharing it aloud that I'm coming to terms with how it's the cosmic moment. It's not that my life, you know, a new leaf was turned over and now I get to live like this forever. I find myself sometimes arriving in these places that I would call enlightenment. You know, by my own standards, I'm in the cosmic way that I am. It is transcendent. You know, by my own standards, I'm having a transcendent experience right now. And you just want to hold, you know, not hold on to it. You just want to believe, like, I have arrived. I am old enough that I actually can be transcendent. And it's probably not true. It's probably just a really beautiful moment. And, you know, this relates to the yellow human part. Last podcast, I was like, I don't want to talk about yellow human. What can we say? We're human. How do we distinguish this? Well, one thing I'll say is that I feel like a yellow human, as in, like, there's a beam of light radiating out my crown chakra because I've been infused with transcendence. And believe me, I'm not like, this is not like one of the moments in my life that I'm always going to remember. I've had those as well, you know, like when you go to a retreat and, you know, you get so high on healing. Like, I've had those and I'll never forget them. This is just more like it's peace. But it's yellow human kind of peace. It's like being the best human I can be. It just has happened. The best human I can be, I'll just give you a descriptor and then you have your own version. I really like spending time on my own. I like having open days that are purposeful. I'm really good at getting things done if I have freedom. I really like being in nature. I like being with my animals. You know, I'm getting really clear definitions on the things that make me a good person versus a person who has to adopt a lot of egotistical attitudes to kind of create a barrier so that I can defend myself against what feels like an infiltration. Because I think that's like the basic concept of where a yellow human experience in a wave spell, you know, where we have to navigate and negotiate the dark side of being a human, which is that we're pig-headed and arrogant and we want, you know, to be competitive and we want to win and so on, that we have an ego. I'm just keep it there. Like, we have an ego and that ego drive is for dominance. Right now, I've either, you know, been through enough of that lately that I have been able to let go of that, or I mean, I don't have an answer. It's just like, well, I don't feel like I want to be dominant. I'm so tired of the heavy, heavy conflict in our culture and my part in it. I don't think I'm done. I'm just tired. I'm taking a break. And when you get to the break, it turns out you can be really peaceable within and with others. So I think that's a yellow human experience that might be available or familiar to you, where it's far enough along in the wave spell, the day of manifestation, the highest peak of this yellow human wave, where you might be like, well, I was kind of like from the beginning edgy and conflictual, but then I kind of found my pace. I found my place in my humanity. And then I became more illuminated and yellow. And now, similarly, star, I have this whole like awareness of the things that work for me as a human being. All right. I don't know. These are both, those are like back-to-back rants. One was about the cosmic tone and transcendence, and one was about the yellow human wave spell, emphasis on yellow. So let me try to do future tripping with you, because we're like halfway in and I don't want you to have to listen just to my ranting. So I just want to what's another thing? I'm going to ramble. I would like to ramble back to the reminder that it means a lot to me that we are 52 years after 1968 right now. And I'm saying that maybe every three podcasts, every four podcasts, I might hope to just, you know, do a little pitch that you honor that orientation, that cyclical return to what was also a time of really strong protest-oriented justice seeking. And it was, I mean, I guess that's the thing. Like, if we're looking at 52-year cycles, they're revolutions, they're wave forms as well. I guess what I want to say is just like, it's like a spiral. Like, okay, well now we are an iteration away from our hopes and desires in 1968 in terms of racial justice or, you know, economic justice, like trying to get out of having a caste system in the United States, for example. I mean, whatever was taking over in the 60s, which was everything from hallucinogens opening people's minds to reactions to the Vietnam War, that foment, civil rights, clearly, all of that, there was an uprising in the same window of time, of natural time, 52 years ago, because it is the same. There are nuances that are different. I mean, there aren't. But, you know, I'm not going to say that there are only 52 years in the Mayan teachings of time. Like, there are 26,000-year cycles and 5,200-year cycles. So it's like there are other things that are still going on, not renewed. But in the 52-year cycle that's pretty much like for us to use as the backbone of our lifetimes, we started 14 years ago at Red Magnetic Moon. Like, it would always start with Red Moon in the East, this 52-year cycle. So we're on finishing up year 14. We had 13 years in Red Moon, and then now we've had 1 year in White Wizard. There's a 13-year Red Moon wave spell, there's a 13-year White Wizard wave spell, a 13-year Blue Storm wave spell, and a 13-year Yellow Seed wave spell. And of course, each one of us is born somewhere within the 52 years, and we kind of pick up, you know, right in the middle. I was born in Blue Lunar Storm next year, and so I'm coming home. I'm doing a cyclical return right here in the middle of the White, in the beginning of the White Wizard 13-year wave spell. So I just think it's a magical treat, not a trick, but a treat. For those of us who love this calendar and follow it, to be all like, check it out, man. People are freaking out in the same way they were in 1960s, 68. And I don't mean that flippantly, you know, when I say freak out. I mean, like, people are just hitting their wall and putting themselves on the street in order to make their voice heard. And I'm like, it's about time. Like, what kept us, you know, behind our computer screens and now not out on the streets when Trump was elected? I mean, just a kind of complacency or, you know, just we're not used to, not adjusted to what we can go out and make our voices heard that way. Well, it's happening again, and it's just an interesting reflection of 1968. So that I said it in a lot of words. And then the future. Because Yellow Human, now the wave spell, it's at its peak. We'll have some days of it winding down, White Spectral Wind and Blue Crystal Night and Yellow Cosmic Seed. And then we're going to start the Red Serpent wave spell. And we're going to do that in this cosmic moon. So we're going to finish the year in the time of the Red Serpent wave spell, pretty much. The day out of time is going to be the beginning of the next wave spell, White Mirror. So White Magnetic Mirror will be the day between years, the day out of time. It's always on July 25th. But in a nice, neat way, The last 13 days of our year, White Magnetic Wizard, will be the Red Serpent Wave Spell. And the Red Serpent Wave Spell, some people know this, some people don't know at all, is full of portal days, 10 portal days. And they're in a row. So it's like its own portal, a 10-day tunnel of portals. And they're sort of distinct. I would say the Red Serpent Wave Spell can offer us like the sloughing off of a skin that is not supple, that chafes us, restricts us, is itchy. You know, you can just look at what snakes do. They wriggle out of their skin. They leave like this tube. It's so cool. They like come out of something that's left intact behind them. And that's how I view these portals, is that we are sloughing off something we've outgrown by moving through it. So if it's 10 days of portals, which creates kind of a tunnel, the tunnel is the skin we're outgrowing, but we move through it one more time. And so there is a kind of uncomfortable acknowledgement of our past. And it feels, I think, especially uncomfortable because it's outdated, like past, meaning it's not a part of me. It's not a foundational part of my past that I'm wriggling out of. It's past that I'm going to leave behind. And we look at it one more time. I'm anticipating that based on a lot of different experiences where this has happened for me in the Red Serpent time. But that doesn't mean that this time it will. But I'm just offering that because I think, since we're in the cosmic moon, which is this bridge between years, and we can acknowledge that it's a bridge between years, which means we can begin to feel the uprising, the stirring of our next year, blue lunar storm. We can feel that now. We can feel it. So I think that we can also allow ourselves to feel the second half of the cosmic moon, which is going to get us to that new year, and feel, anticipate, I guess be excited about, not move into the future, but just acknowledge that part of the now is just days away from the Red Serpent Wave Spell. And it's just one of the biggest wave spells in the Dzogchen. I don't know if that's my own sort of prejudicial approach to astrology, where I have enough years following the Dzogchen calendar that I have assigned like the biggest title to a wave spell. That sounds pretty much like, it's kind of fraudulent, right? It's just sort of doing what everyone does to every spirituality, where I'm getting egoic about it and being like, this is a bad wave spell. This is a bitch of a wave spell. I mean, I just think the portal days describe intensity. So having 10 in a row is sort of within a logical definition going to be intense. It's one of the more intense wave spells. But then let's just jump all the way to Yellow Seed, the other wave spell that has 10 portals. It's not as intense. Those portals are different because, as I have explained in the past, I believe that when we are in the Yellow Seed wave spell, the portals we drop through are like our future self that we're meeting as we pass through. But like a seed, it sort of indicates like you're going to have to wait for a bloom or a bud or some fruit or a tree, you know, like it's a seed right now. So when we're in the Yellow Seed wave spell and we move through 10 portal days, it's kind of like you can get exposure to what the seed will become, but it's not your life yet. You move through some future experience, you touch on it, through all these portals, you can get access to it. And then you just have to wait, because it's not going to be like a seed and then snap your fingers a tree. So I would say it's more intense to reckon with the Red Serpent Wave Spell and the, you know, old outmoded part of self binding you, and you having to kind of, you know, really get into your body in order to get out of it. The Red Serpent Wave Spell is very body centered because a snake doesn't have a higher mind. A snake has an instinctual mind. All of its brain function is just for survival, not thoughts and feelings. So when we get reptilian in the red serpent wave spell, on the one hand, we could say, oh my gosh, we're going to be like in anxiety and fear because we're going to be in our reptilian brain. And all of us humans have a reptilian part of our brain, the amygdala, they call it our reptilian part of our brain. And so it is sort of fight or flight or fear, the freak out of anxiety. And so the antidote to being freaked out and anxiety is to be in your body, you know, and just get out of your head. If your head is just a spasm of fear, then get in your body through yoga and sex and lying around, you know, like a snake is vertical at times, kind of in its snake charming mode. I mean, I think snakes coil upward because they're trying to get upright and have a spiritual experience, but, you know, they're very known for having their whole body along the earth. When you're in the red serpent wave spell, you can gain traction and get out of terror by getting really close to the land. Feel the pulse of earth through your body. And you don't have to lie down to have that experience. You could go for lots of hikes in the red serpent wave spell and swims. And, you know, you would have the same feeling of connecting with the earth. So in a way, I think it's good that I'm talking about this because it seems to me, if this is Wednesday and it's planetary, then we have Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, our spectral crystal cosmic. I will next podcast on red magnetic serpent. I don't know what'll be left to say. This is all super helpful preparatory information, and then we'll just be in it. Maybe I have to say it ahead of time when I'm an illuminated human at the peak of my yellow human wave spell, because my brain is functioning, you know, way beyond the reptilian capacity. And then when we get to red magnetic serpent, I'll be stunted back to the reptilian state, and I may not have all this brilliant insight. And when I say brilliant, I don't mean that in a self-aggrandizing way. I mean that in a yellow human illuminated way. So red serpent wave spell will also be coinciding with what I love to talk about, the third week in the West. We'll get to that as well on Sunday, the next podcast, because the third week in the West will be upon us. You can anticipate it or just enter it in between podcasts. It's finishing this second week on Friday, and then Saturday we begin our third week in the West, which is a time of transformation. Let's just leave it there because I talk about it a lot. So the first days of the red serpent wave spell will be in the churl of this western week, this blue western week of our cosmic moon. And then we'll finally finish out the year together. And there'll be other things to talk about that I never talk about when the year ends, like the 5-day festival days. I mean, festival, the 5 ceremonial days that finish the natural time year are, it's just a time of, I mean, talk about preparation and reflection. It is a time of purification for our new year. So I'm going to want to talk about that. And that gets us out of the bounds that I usually cover of the tone and tribe. Just to kind of push through these days. So white spectral wind on Thursday. I mean, the interesting thing about today, red planetary dragon, is that, okay, so according to this mythology that we're walking, the highest cresting wave peak of a human experience is the goddess and to be the nurturing caregiver, not the egotistical asshole patriarch. So that's part of what we're aiming for if we follow the structure of the Dzogchen. And then the day of the wave breaking and dissolving and a human falling back to earth happens in the Father Sky variable of white wind. just experience that. I don't know how to describe it, especially briefly, but I'm going to try to experience it. Like, what is it like to go from this peak experience of yellow human to falling back to earth through white wind? And then blue crystal night, we're in a resolution of the wave spell. You know all about the crystal tome because we just had it. We'll resolve things in the dream time of the daytime and the place of shelter and the place of abundance and the place of intuition. Sounds good. Blue crystal night, take that on, enjoy it. And then yellow cosmic seed, cosmic day and a cosmic moon. That's Saturday. There'll be one more. That'll be the last day of the year. Wow. It's just really exciting that we made it through again. I'm excited to be here. I always am. And then I get kind of cranky and like, what? It's all revving up again in the magnetic moon. All right. Well, check out the old book, Natural Time, at resonanttruth.com, my website. I just want you to know. And I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.